I hope I'm not holding up anybody's trick-or-treating tonight, but I think I'm going to preach for just a moment. I did an interesting little research today, and I was glad to have the time to do it. And you can go do it yourself, but I was curious about the statement, the Bible is the best-selling book. And you can look that up, and it's interesting that according to Guinness, the Bible is the best-selling book of all time. They state, according to a research done sometime around 1975, the Bible Society discovered that from 1815 to 1975, some 2.5 billion Bibles were printed and distributed in the world. Now that 1975, and so the suggested number today with the ease of copying and so forth, that it's around 5 billion, the Bible. And there's no dispute on it being the best-selling book distributed in the world. Now, Wikipedia, you can do a research, will give you other books, interestingly enough, that are listed as top sellers, best sellers, nonfiction, fiction, and so forth. And one of the highest numbers of the best sellers, how close do you think it is to 5 billion? Do you think it's close to a billion? It's not. It's not even close to a billion. It's like 100 million might be the top seller, as noted again by Wikipedia. Now, I say all that just to point something out. So we know the Bible, this book, is the best-selling, most noted book in the world. But then I started to think about how many people must not understand it very well. I want you to look at 2 Timothy 2. There's no excuse or reason why we should be ignorant. Paul encouraged Timothy, as you know, the passage very well. 2 Timothy chapter 2. I won't keep you long. I was kidding about trick-or-treating. I'm a kid at heart, but it is raining outside. You know the passage very well, but I want to just notice the context. Look at verse 2 Timothy 2, and notice verse 8. The Apostle Paul says to Timothy, "Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel." Re-emphasizing scripture, the evidence of even the genealogical line of Jesus, a history that was well known to these people. And so no wonder in that passage, if you jump over to chapter 3, look at chapter 3, verse 15. Might look at verse 14. 2 Timothy 3, 14 and 15. Paul again will say to him, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation." Of course, verses 16 and 17, the two passages that emphasize the inspiration, the God-breathed nature of the Bible. This is God-breathed. "These scriptures are holy and able to make thee wise unto salvation." Don't forget that. Emphasize it. Emphasize the evidence. Jesus, who was born of the seed of David, a history that's indisputable. It's alive. It's well. You know that. Be assured. Don't forget it. And in all of that context, this is where chapter 2, verse 15 plays. Look at chapter 2, verse 15. You probably have it memorized. But he says here to Timothy to keep on, keeping on, study. The same word study here is translated in the King James Bible in 2 Peter 1, verse 5 and 2 Peter 1, 10. The same word study is translated over there to be diligent or give diligence. So the idea here of study is really the idea of being diligent. So look at what Paul is saying relative to this Bible that is the best-selling book in the world, which speaks volumes, literally, of our God. and the indestructible nature of this book, His holy word. Give diligence or study to show thyself approved unto God. Number one, you want to be approved of God? You can't just have that number one best-selling book sitting on a coffee table. It has to be applied. Peter over in 2 Peter 1 is talking about giving diligence to add to your faith, which comes by hearing by the word of God, these graces, these seven Christian graces. And if you'll do so in 2 Peter 1 verse 5 and verse 10, you shall never fall. Right. There's the idea of being approved. But you have to do these things. You have to activate this will in your life. And so here in verse 15 again, in order to be approved of God, you're going to have to be a diligent person, give diligence to show yourself approved. Demonstrate. And that's the idea of being a workman. There's no idle or laziness in Christianity. I'm telling you, the problem today with people is when they become complacent or idle. You know the statement, the idle mind is a devil's workshop, and that may be silly, but it's not really silly.
That's right.
I've seen preachers fall off and fall to their own temptations when I would suggest unto you they became idle.
That's right.
They got idle. They got complacent. Perhaps they were in a situation or a location where things got too easy. And what happens? But the old temptation, the old devil gets after you. And through your own lust, you fall. And so gospel preachers have fallen. You cannot allow yourself to be idle, so you must be a worker. And it's that way in life. In everything you do, you have to be a worker. And there's where it says you will have no need to be ashamed. The idea here is there is no reason whatsoever. This word ashamed is the unique form of it by itself. I believe it's the only time it's translated in such a way in the New Testament. There are various forms, but this one time literally means you have no reason to be ashamed. And the word ashamed has to do with being dishonorable. If you look at the root idea, the etymology of this word, it's the idea of being dishonored. Now, being dishonored literally means that you're not able to bear weight, physical weight. You go back to the original concepts of being honorable. The honorable person is the person that's able to bear weight. And the more weight a person can bear in life, the more honorable that person is. And therefore, what he's saying to Timothy is you have no reason to be ashamed. So shame goes out the door when you do what's right. You're active. You're not idle. But it's interesting, as he says here, the standard, the way this all happens, the way that you level it all out is by rightly dividing, literally cutting straight, handling precisely, carefully, the Bible, the Word of God. And so for a book that has been so widely distributed, and a book that is still the number one bestseller, you can have confidence in that. But a book that apparently is not being handled correctly by most. And that's just an observation. So you can kind of weigh out those observations. A book that's the most popular book, but what are people doing with it? The point here for you is to make sure you're doing the right thing with it. And know that you can do the right thing and you can be unashamed, approved of by God. But you have to be diligent, a worker. You're not going to make it if you're lazy in anything in life.
Right.
A lazy husband's going to probably lose his wife, if not to depression, to another. Well, anyway. But again, the you get my point? Husbands, love your wives like you're supposed to. That's an active word.
Yeah.
Same thing for wives. Love your husbands. And so nothing lazy will get you very far in life. So be a worker. Do what's right. And the Lord will bless us. We can be approved. If you'll obey the gospel, if you haven't obeyed the gospel, you need to. If you know what you need to do tonight, you have the faith to act upon that, to repent of your sins. Have you made your mind up to do that? To change your life? You have to do that first before you can be converted. Some people get that backwards, but you can't become a Christian until you convert. You make your mind up to become that person. And when you do that, then you're ready to confess. You wouldn't want to make a confession until you're ready to repent first. And so you would confess that Jesus is the Christ, Son of the living God, before men publicly, and The Bible says, Jesus says, I'll confess you before my Father which is in heaven. Making that good confession then puts you in a place to be ready now to be immersed or baptized in water for the remission of your sins, to arise to walk in the newness of life. And you can become a child of God if you'll obey that gospel. And that's what that means, to obey the gospel. And a child of God, one that's saved this very hour, this very evening. And we're ready to help you do that if you're ready to make that decision. If you're a child of God and you've been a little lazy or idle, and you know that, then you might need to come ask us for prayers, but you need to get busy. You need to pray and get that right. But perhaps, what better time to ask your brethren to help you and pray for you? And that's why we're here too, to help if we can. So if we can help you in any way, the Lord's invitation is yours. As together we stand and we sing.